You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
As Walmart wraps up its public relations media conference in Arkansas today, former Walmart worker Greg Pierce says that morale among Walmart workers is very low, and they often talk with each other about the national campaign to improve conditions for Walmart workers. Pierce says in addition to low wages and inadequate health care, Walmart workers often face abrupt changes and reductions in their work hours. He's convinced that a union is the only real hope Walmart workers have to improve their conditions, and he says to make that happen, Walmart workers should stand up and speak out for their rights.
Martin Luther King Jr. said that oppression can only survive through silence. And if I had one more thing to say, I would call for all Walmart workers that have something to say and that want their voice to be heard to go ahead and speak out. You're an American. You have that ability. Use it.
New York City transit workers have voted to approve a contract offering the same terms as one they rejected in January, but it's unclear whether the vote will result in a contract agreement. A judge has hit TWU Local 100 with a $2.5 million fine, and its leader, Roger Toussaint, with a 10-day jail sentence for last year's illegal strike. The fine is likely to be appealed. New York City's Mass Transit Board, meanwhile, will be presented with the union's contract vote at its meeting on April 26th.
Planet Check. Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now. Yes, I will. Keep on singing by.
Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Two-thirds of national workplace injuries may be missed by the current surveillance system used by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. According to a study in the April issue of the Journal of Occupational and Environmental Medicine, the Bureau of Labor Statistics failed to account for 61% of work-related injuries and illness. The study was conducted by Dr. Kenneth D. Rosenman at Michigan State University in East Lansing. Rosenman and his colleagues combined four databases used to identify workplace injuries resulting in more than seven missed workdays over a three-year period in the state of Michigan. Their study found 79,400 injuries and illnesses fitting their criteria, while the Bureau only reported 30,800 in that same time period. In the study, Rosenman suggests factors that may contribute to the BLS missing data. For example, the government system excludes federal workers and the self-employed. The study suggests that if the Bureau switched to a census system, such as the one used to track work-related deaths, it would help improve reporting.
The Boston Marathon this week attracted a 500,000 spectators and thousands of runners, including WIN's own Greg Gordon, who finished in 3 hours, 10 minutes, 20 seconds. That qualifies him for next year's run, but he says the 26 miles was a tough run psychologically.
I lost the psychological battle because even though my time is fantastic, I finished in the top 10% of everyone. Mentally and psychologically, it was a tremendous struggle for the entire race. My mind drifted and I kept counting the miles and counting every step.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
And good evening. This is Head On with Bob Kincaid, and this is not Bob, this is Agnes, and we are guest hosting again this evening. We hope that Bob will be with us soon, but until then, we have Bruce Birch and John Fox, and we all know what tonight is. It's not going to play for me. Okay. Well, we will bring the boys in now. John, are you with us?
Yes, we are. I believe, Bruce, you there?
No, I'm not here.
Okay.
And anyone who resembles me or tries to impersonate me for the next 3 hours is actually not me. If you do run into me while I'm out, though, tell me to wait until I get there.
Are you still running red lights?
Ladies, 30 minutes before the show, I get this call that these flyers for Head On Radio Network are ready, and I have to drive 10 minutes away to go get them. And I figured I had, 10 minutes to get there, 10 minutes in between, and 10 minutes to get back. Well, I get there, and they have no change, so then I have to run out to a bank. I run out to the – it's a long story, but I did run 7 red lights on the way back to get in here in time for the show, ladies and gentlemen. No tickets, but 7 red lights. So.
Were you listening to Sammy Hagar as you were going?
No, actually, it was Black Eyed Peas, I think. But
Right on. I was sitting there, that I can't drive 55 thing, sorry. Old rock dog.
Well, John, tell everybody what we're doing, how we're doing it, where they can go, what they can do, blah, 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 blah.
All right, now that we're actually on, if you hadn't figured it out yet, this is John and Bruce from Fourth Estate Radio, and we are blogging and chatting at headonradionetwork.com. And there's a video clip there on today's post, I believe, there, Bruce, that everybody needs to go see. We're streaming, and the show is archived by Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. Stop by, drop him a dime, because he never sends a bill. And all our best wishes to Bob and his family through this trying time. And Bruce and I will carry the ship for as long as is necessary. But I'll tell you, man, Scotty the Duck is leaving the building.
Yeah, and I just... He is leaving the building, but before we do that, I just wanted to let everybody know that the post there on the front of the Head On Radio Network website, I wrote that post, and I would like for everyone, if you get a chance throughout the next 3 hours while you're listening to the stream and relaxing, and we'll tell you again probably before the show is over with, but please do go by there and leave a little bit of a message if you can, a comment, if you're interested, or if you're so inclined to leave a comment in support of the Kincaid family in this time. We'd love, we'd love to be able to forward that along to them just as an expression of the listeners of this radio, this fine radio program, Head On with Bob Kincaid. If you get a chance, please do that, because we'd love to be able to pass that along and let them know that there's a lot of folks out there who care about what's going on and would love to see a positive outcome. Okay, John. Sorry, I just needed to put that in there. Get on to quack a lot.
Oh yeah, we've got heaps to do, and if you're so inclined as you go by the network site, dive into the chat room and dive into that pool of some of the most intelligent and fun people you'll ever find on the net anywhere. I'm getting my head around, it's 9 o'clock in the morning here, man. It's like I just kind of woke up, and it takes a little while for me to get my head together. It's still the wee hours over here in Australia. But I was just going off to sleep last night, and Stephanie Miller broke in with breaking news that Scotty the Duck, he's fine. Has the constant lying finally gotten to him? I mean, I don't know how that guy could sleep at night with what he had, with what he was always doing.
I know how he slept at night. He was probably taking massive amounts of Lonesta or Ambien or perhaps Xanax. I don't know, Valium. There's a whole bunch of stuff that put people to sleep. Jack Daniels. Oh my goodness. I'm not surprised, and actually it makes me kind of happy. Now the only thing that scares me, John, He said, I'm hearing little rumblings about who might replace him, and that's even worse, because I don't know if you saw the movie. Yes, you did. Of course you did. V for Vendetta. But the mouthpiece of the fascist government in that movie may greatly resemble the next mouthpiece for this fascist government.
Well, on the guy that they're talking about bringing in, he's an old speechwriter for George the First, right?
Well, the name that I heard being floated around was Tony Snow.
Ah, he's a Fox News jackass, right?
Oh, yeah, he's the Fox News crack ass, yes.
Crack kills.
I'm sorry, you know what, wait, this is prime time radio, we probably need to clean it up a little bit, you know, we'll censor ourselves, crack beep, okay, yeah, but you know, yeah, I think there's a clip you wanted to run in there, John, or what?
Yeah, well, we have the clip of Bush sending McClellan off, but what I think is really funny is this happened on the White House lawn, and they were going to have the big helicopter exit. But they get in the helicopter and the radios aren't working, so they had to get out of the helicopter and go by motorcade, which I just think was hysterical, you know, the big dramatic flying Scotty off into the sky and going nowhere. Gotta walk.
I gotta go take the car. I gotta take the yellow bus home, eh?
Yeah. Can't fly off.
Scott was probably, you know, I'm thinking Scott early on may have been one of those guys who wrote the short bus. You know what the short bus is, don't you, John?
No, please enlighten me.
You don't know what the short bus is, man?
It's a very...
The short bus is like a uniquely American phenomenon. There are long buses and there are short buses. The long buses take everybody to the regular school. The short buses take everybody to the special school. School for the special children. Okay? I don't want to ridicule those folks because they have a very challenging time, but I'm just thinking because... No one can stand up there for as long as this man did and tell lies as deeply as he told and be able to sleep at night and be able to live a functioning normal life. I mean, when, you know, if you notice today, I heard his little, on the way back in this afternoon, I heard a little clip of him saying, you know, I'm going to go home and spend time with my wife. His voice was visibly, it was just, he sounded like he was stretched tight as a rubber band and about to snap any second, like all this truth was going to come spilling out of him, and so they had to rush him away from the microphone. I don't know.
Well, in the press conference the day before the announcement, his voice was cracking as though he was hitting puberty. So I wonder if the emotion was starting to, you know, they already knew what was going to happen. It sounded, Stephanie Miller was really, really, really ripping him apart. So they're going, oh, poor Scotty, he's hit puberty. And it was really quite funny. But resigned last night. When it resigned last night, it suddenly took on a new air. Perhaps it was, you know, the emotion welling up in the sweet little fat liar in anticipation for his big announcement. And
I can't comment on an ongoing investigation.
I also have to. You sent me the link to that Al Franken's little send off set to. Time of Your Life, which I thought was pretty good, you know. Gotta love Green Day. They're just so useful in these situations.
They certainly are. But as I said, I can't. I'm sorry, but we can't. I can't comment on an ongoing investigation. So that question's out of bounds. Go ahead.
But we do have the clip of Bush sending old Scotty off. Wait, no. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm confused. We didn't get that clip, I don't think, or did we? Agnes, what did I send you? It's too early in the morning for my brain. I'll have to go back and look at the clips. We'll come back to that in a bit. But now, you're saying if we end up with a Fox News guy in, I mean, doesn't that just...
What better place? I mean, here's what I'm thinking. And, you know, I think a lot about these things because I don't do anything else. But I'm thinking... Very much that if you want to create a new ministry of propaganda, that Fox News would be the ideal place to recruit the new mouthpiece. And who better than Tony Snow? I mean, I was thinking Neil Bortz, but, you know, or maybe even Michael the Wiener Savage or the Savage Wiener or whatever he is. Anyway, but Tony Snow is the name that I'm hearing floated about. So we will, you know, I'll do a little research during the show and see what kind of, you know, whether I can dig up some truth in the, of that rumor. Of course, you know, I'm not saying that it is. I'm just floating the question. You know, it might be. It could be Tony Snow. Might it be Tony Snow?
Well, you know, considering the fact that Fox has been, you know, the propaganda mouthpiece for this administration, having the propaganda machine step in as the press secretary only makes sense to this administration because they seriously on their they're on their last legs, as you know, their credibility's shot. So all they can do is continue to push the lies
they
forward.
They started without credibility, and I don't know what, you know, we're going to have to create a new word for this level of deceit that has been perpetrated, because I can't think of a word that really accurately describes the level of it's just like a big black cauldron of foaming goo, this negativity from this administration. And Scotty, he was the one who kept, you know, spoon-feeding it to the rest of us. Didn't do a great job. And based on the fact that he, you know, put on weight while he was there, I'm thinking he might have eaten some himself. But
some people were wondering if he was going to leave a trail of Malamar wrappers on the way out the door. Because he has...
Malamar?
Well, yeah.
Or Miramar.
Miramar, whatever the big fat creamy chocolate thing is. But
okay. Well, we're really not being nice to Scotty today.
Well, he hasn't been nice to this country, man. He's been a lying sack of garbage for the last few years. And everything to help undermine, you know, our democracy. I have zero patience for this little jerk.
I don't think he's such a bad guy.
Yeah, his mom would say that.
He just, you know, he did his job. He did what he was told to do. Now, Mr. McClellan, okay, you know, can you imagine the cabinet meeting? You know, here's where we need to bring in our good pal, George, Mr. Resident. But can you imagine the cabinet meeting where we have Mr. Resident and Mr. Vice Resident sitting around the table, and then you have, you know, Carl Truth Crusher Rove over there and a few of the others, and here's Scotty, and all they're doing is they're feeding his head full of lies to go out and tell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Here's the truth. They all write down the truth, and they say, okay, on the opposite side of the page, now write down the exact opposite of the truth, and then here, Scotty, you take this and go tell everybody that.
Well, you know, I feel like myself and a couple of other parody writers out there are having a slight bit of mixed emotions about this because, you know, as you know, I had a parody on Scotty that got a whole lot of mileage, and there were a few others out there. There's a great punk one called Scotty Doesn't Know, and all these things, and it's kind of like, oh, geez, you know, we've just lost the reason for this thing to be played. And when we go out this break, maybe possibly for one of the last times, we will play Scotty the Duck, the censored version, because we're on primetime. And even in that lyric, you know, it's the whole lyric is, here's the lies and get out there, Scotty, you schmuck. And I think schmuck is the right word because he's just a player, you know, a teeny little player who thought, I really think, you know, he thought that this is his way to the big time and power when he's a...
Got the big time, all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's the classic example to me of a completely uncreative person who needs to use money and power to, you know, validate themselves, you know, and you know, his mother,
yeah, well,
isn't his mother running for some office in Texas as an independent, which I found interesting.
Yes, and actually, I mean, you know, the McClellans are very close friends of the Bush family. His brother, Mark McClellan, I believe, runs something over in the FDA. I'm not sure exactly what department it is over there, but his brother's still in the government. I think this is just a matter of, you know, shaking up the administration. It's not like they're saying that he did something evil or, you know, they're running him out the door. I think it It just came time to shake things up and have a new batch of liars replacing the old batch of liars. You know what I'm saying? You know, maybe people will think that, well, because this guy's a new liar, he won't tell, you know, he'll tell some of the truth, right? So it's or is it the Who song says, you know?
Which one? Which one was that? I was looking at the production chat trying to communicate with Virginia. What was that?
The Who song that says, something about, you know, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I'll figure it out during the break, and then we'll come back, and then I'll chant it, okay?
No pressure, Bruce. I tell you what, why don't we blow off this next break, and we have Wayne. Oh, no. Do we want to take this break, Bruce? I guess we'll take this break, and then take Wayne's call when we come back?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, Wayne, just hang tight there, and Agnes, why don't you go ahead and run Scotty the Duck there, and you've got Bruce and Birch, Bruce Birch, and John Fox from Fort the State Radio. We'll be after this break. We're in.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get
me. I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Hey, this, all right, you're back with us. I thought we were going to have some music there. All right, yeah, this is Bruce Birch. You're back on Head On with Bob Kincaid, and I am the half of the dynamic duo of Fourth Estate Radio. We're covering for Bob tonight as Bob is taking care of some personal business. And our thoughts and prayers go out to Bob tonight. If you want to comment or if you'd like to send Bob a quick note and let him know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, if you'd like to share something with him, please go to our front page of headonradionetwork.com. And if you do that, you'll be able to comment on the show post there, and you can send him, drop him a little line. We'd love for you to sort of, you know, express yourself and say hi to Bob and Agnes tonight as they need all the support they can get. And it's my understanding that we do indeed have our good friend Wayne on line one. Wayne, how are you doing tonight, my man?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, but I'll get better, as the saying goes.
Okay. We can hear you, man. How are you?
Good, good. Listen, I got a question first. And let me say I think you guys are doing a hell of a job. Then let me ask this question.
Well, thank
you. Where the hell would you guys be without Agnes?
Agnes is rocking our world, and we're sending her diamonds and all kinds of furs and all kinds of things in the mail.
She deserves everything you could send her, man. Everything.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you,
absolutely,
man. I know I'm older than both you guys, and I don't know how old you are, but believe me, I know I'm older. I found out a long time ago, if in fact there is a superior race, it ain't us, pal. You know, so.
I agree, mate.
You know.
I so agree.
Or, well, without my race, you know, I meant to say gender also. I mean, women are the ones, man. You know.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
I agree.
They had that argument for, you know, men were superior. I don't buy that. But.
You know, Wayne,
and that's real important. You should recognize that, too.
Oh yeah, I did a lot of reading on Native American culture and the Bradaches in particular, and the Native Americans believe that women are born complete beings and men require a rite of passage, and the reason being that women actually are able to bring life into the world and men can't, and I think that there's a lot to be said for that.
You know what that does, man? That makes them smarter than us, or a lot of us these days. You know, that's very true. So,
from now on, we need to call Agnes the absolutely amazing Agnes. How about that?
Hey, I kind of like that. There's a lot of A's in there and stuff, right? That's cool.
That's right.
That's cool.
Okay. We have AAA producing the show.
We're watching. For some reason, I can't hear you guys very good, and I don't know what's going on, but I hope you can hear me.
We certainly can.
Okay. This White House shakeup thing, I mean, you know, what a ruse. You know. I mean, do you think, I saw somewhere on the news, did Karl Rove get demoted? You know, give me a break. No, Karl Rove was told, you know, you better dig us out of this hole we're in because we want to remain in control of the House. And that's where Karl Rove's going. I believe it, that we are going to take back the House. And as Bob Kincaid has said, and I agree with him 100%, then we can, in fact, hold Democrats responsible. They have, if we regain control of the House, the Democrats have absolutely no excuse whatsoever. And the House is where articles of impeachment are introduced. And
that is
what
correct.
Needs to be done. And if they don't, they don't have any more excuses. You know, I mean, now it's, we don't have any power. We got to meet in the basement. You know, now you got the power. Let's see what you do with it. And if they don't do the proper thing, we remove them in 2 years because they are not true Democrats. That's how we fix it.
And
I'm not a third party person, you know.
Okay.
Jim Hightower I liked his quote that America does not need a second or a third political party, but they're in dire need of a second one. And that's what we have to establish. And, you know,
the Democrats
have a lot of things going for them. They got pretty good name recognition. You know, we could work on that. What we have to do is separate the wheat from the chaff. And if we take over the House, we are going to get the opportunity to do that. And it's time for all of us to step up.
Wayne, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
And that would be how, I mean, what can we do? Now, there's a lot of folks out there who have gotten upset about the present state of the Democratic Party in D.C. anyway, and have because of that, decided to defect to other parties such as the Green Party, et cetera. But, I mean, you know, what can we do to try to bring those folks back into the fold so we don't, you know, splinter too badly?
Support Howard Dean as much as you possibly can. Howard Dean, in my opinion, is the best thing that's happened to the Democratic Party in many years. And I, you know, I have a little issue with, is it Rick from Florida that called last night? I too lived in Vermont for 18 years.
Okay.
I remember the day that Richard Snelling died, and that's when Governor Dean became Governor Dean. He was Lieutenant Governor before that. And maybe I was too busy, you know, trying to support a wife and three young children at the time to pay attention, but I left there in 93. Now, I can't remember exactly when Dean became governor. Early 90s, I guess. But anyway, I don't remember him being that bad a governor. Now, I may be wrong. I know that a lot of people after I left were upset because I guess he supported civil unions or, you know, something to do, you know, with gay people or something. You know, I don't know. But I know a lot of people, you know, were upset about that. But I support him fully.
I think gay people ought to be entitled to all the same misery the rest of us have, Wayne. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%.
100%. No, I'm not miserable at all. I had to throw the joke in there. I'm sorry. But Rick is in the chat room right now, and you know what? You want to hear what he said about you?
Sure, man. I don't care.
He said, and I will quote him now. He said, "It's guys like Wayne who will save this nation." Wayne kicks ass, is what he says.
Well,
so,
I don't know if you have that, brother, but I sure do appreciate it. You know, it's just like I told a guy one time. I got my butt kicked in a bar, and I went back the next day because I knew I was wrong and I wanted to apologize to people. And as they threw me out of the bar, they handed me my glasses. I went back the next day and talked to the bartender, and I said, "Look, man, I apologize. I know, you know, I was loaded. I don't know what the hell I did, but I know it was my fault." And she said, "Well," she said, "you know, I'm glad you came in because, you know, the guy that you got in a fight with was really scared." I said, "He was." She said, "Yeah, he thought he killed you."
Oh no.
And so I said, "Well, listen, man, I'm not going to thank the guy for kicking my butt, but I sure do appreciate he didn't break my glasses." You know what I mean?
There you go.
I don't know what the point of that was. I hope you guys got it. So I think you guys are doing a hell of a job. I really do. And, you know, you're proving something that's very important. Not only is this Head On Radio Network, this is Head On Radio Family. And you guys are...
Absolutely.
You're proving that to the extreme, and I thank you for it.
Well, you're welcome. I think John has a question for you, though.
When Rick rang up yesterday and made the comments about Dean, I had never heard anything, you know, like a real negative thing about his previous political life before. But Dean was down here last year, and I had a chance to have a bit of a one-on-one conversation with him, and I found what he's doing to be the best possible road that the Democrats can take at the moment, which is that idea of run for every local office you can, go for dog catcher, everything else.
And
he's going
and establish a presence in every state of the union. It doesn't matter. You know, I don't care what color it is now. What color can we turn it to? And that's what he's doing. And he's, you know, he's butting heads with the Hillary Clintons and who's the goofball from Jersey? Is that Biden?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, from my old home state.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry for you, but you can always move.
You know, that I grew up in the Keene days, right? And he was what I remember as a good Republican.
Listen, contrary
you
to
had
popular
two terms
belief,
where he turned.
There were and still are good Republicans.
Oh, I know. And
there aren't very damn many of them, but there are some.
And when he was appointed to the 9/11 Commission, I held hope for the 9/11 Commission, but I could read in his face that he was being held back from doing the things that he wished to do. Because that guy, when he first became governor of New Jersey, we were the dirtiest state in the union, the most polluted, the highest debt, and the biggest population as far as density. And in two terms, he turned New Jersey, completely wiped out the debt, absolutely completely, and actually got the economy rocking and rolling, got a whole bunch of New York corporations to move their headquarters to New Jersey, and did a really good job. And that was a time when Republicans, as a mass, were a very effective force in the democratic process. And I think that they've really had that stripped from them by this administration.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. These people are, you have to understand that, well, these people are evil and mean. I mean, you know, you might want to do the right thing, but these people have absolute power. I mean, that's probably hard for, they have absolute power and they're not afraid to use it. You know, thankfully, it's all backfiring on them and more people are realizing what they're capable of. You know, what they, I mean, these people outed a CIA agent. Outed a CIA agent. They can't tell the truth about anything. They could not tell the truth about Pat Tillman's death. They couldn't tell the truth about Jessica Lynch's experience from West Virginia. How much,
no doubt.
How more can you dishonor a soldier, a veteran of the United States Army than to lie about their experience and try to use it for your own damn propaganda? These people are evil, and people have to realize that, and we have to get rid of them, and we have to do it quickly. Because
you don't. You do not. If anything, you're radically normal as far as I'm concerned. But there's one interesting comment I remember from Governor Keene after he left office. They were really hounding him to run for president. And he turned around and said, if you enter politics with the desire to actually actively really help people, a governorship is the highest you can ever go.
I'd say that's a very, very true statement, don't you? Don't you think
that? Absolutely. And, you know, he said, I've had my two terms.
And that's where it all begins, too, is with the states.
Absolutely.
That's where it all begins, is with the states.
And Wayne, just as an aside, just so you can sort of chew on this little tidbit of information, guess who's going to be the guest of ABC News at this year's White House Correspondents' Dinner?
Don't tell me it's Ann Coulter.
Valerie Plame.
Oh, my word.
Oh, God. I have mixed feelings. I'll have to...
along with her husband.
That around for a while.
But just thought I'd pass that along. So she's supposed to be. She. I don't know if she's actually going to attend, but she has been invited as to be guests of ABC News there. So.
What do you suppose they threatened her with? Not that they haven't done enough.
I don't know. This might be ABC News. This might be their way of sort of thumbing their nose at the president. I don't. You know, could be.
Well, buddy, it's about time. It's about time. You know, there's one thing
years.
You have to always keep in mind. Who owns ABC News?
Disney.
The evil empire,
right.
Pal. You know, they hide behind all them little cartoon characters, but they ain't a bunch of nice guys
here,
either.
Wayne.
What?
A thing about Disney. Here's a little tidbit that I think a lot of people don't know. I worked for a little theater up in Northern California for a while, and when it all went down, everybody went elsewhere for work. And I had friends that ended up in Florida at Disney working in their production houses. Do you know that Disney does not allow any employee to have a mustache because Walt had one?
I do know. My brother. My brother's 70 years old. He is still working. He has worked for ABC for, I don't know, 47, 8 years. And, I mean, you know, he started in the 50s, buddy, in the early, you know, well, no, it wasn't the 50s, but early on, you know, he started a long time ago. I'm like Bob with math. And he has experienced all the things and changes, and I know a lot about the Disney Corporation, what they've done to unions, what they've done to working people. You know, Walt ain't there no more, brother. That's all I got to tell you.
Absolutely. It's,
and
it's
I wish
like
the hell
the
he was.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Walmart family. The descendants do not resemble the original in any way.
Not even close. What the hell does anybody need that much money for? I mean, what are
this
they
is my
worth
question.
$40 billion or something?
Yeah, those kids, the Walmart kids who have never had to work a day in their lives, you know, they don't do anything for their communities, and they continue to just want more and more and more. And I keep trying to figure out when greed and gorging became a Christian value. Because it seems
that's
to be...
Are they Christians? The Walmart kids?
Well, you know, I mean, isn't that a prerequisite for being part of this whole...
Yeah, well, I'd say you're absolutely right, you know. I'm, oh, God, I don't know if I want to say this or not, my... Well, I lean along the lines of, which one of you were talking to Jim last night about being agnostic?
That would be me, John.
That would be you, you know. You describe my point very good in saying that I'm spiritual. And I am. I mean, I feel I'm spiritual. Organized religion turned me off a long, long time ago. And, you know, I was baptized Catholic and, you know, all that good stuff. But, I don't know. I just
did
don't
the water...
know. Everything that's happened, all the thing that's happened in all the churches and da-da-da-da-da, and the Catholic Church especially, I just can't go along with all that stuff. Every religion there is, I don't care. And you know, I've looked at a lot of them. I mean, when I was young and crazy and, you know, a younger hippie, I would like to refer to. Every religion, and I don't care where it comes from, somewhere or another in there is the, well, we call it the golden rule, the whatever. But it's do unto others. And if that were people's religion, we'd have a hell of a lot better world. And that is what I try to practice.
And
you know,
I think
and I
the
don't call
Buddhists...
myself anything, but try to be a good person.
Well, that's right, Wayne. And I actually think, in my bit of research of the different faiths and whatnot, I actually think the Buddhists get closest to it.
Oh,
because
I agree.
They have a complete tolerance of all other faiths.
But who wants to sit there and spin that wheel all day? You know what I mean? Huh?
Is
that them guys? Aren't they the prayer wheel guys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. You know, I actually
you
did a tour
to
with the
Kung Fu, didn't you?
Bet. You bet.
Yes, yes, grasshopper.
Yes, there you go. Believe
yes,
me,
grasshopper.
Man, I watched it all the time.
It was black and white, but I watched it too.
All right. Man,
and why did he do that thing with the bowl every single week?
With
oh, sorry,
what?
That was just the opening credits.
You mean when he got his
wasn't it his
tiger burn?
Yeah. Ah, yeah, every time you'd watch, you know, an episode of that show, that would always hurt me to watch.
Well, I mean, that was, you know, you think you're a badass, watch this. You know, that's what that was saying.
you know, going back to your point about being spiritual, I don't know if you've caught the film What the Bleep Down the Rabbit Hole on quantum physics. It's actually,
believe me, man, just that title alone tells me I didn't go there.
No, I tell you what, you should go and see it. It's a very, very enjoyable film. And it's called What the Bleep.
Okay.
Down the Rabbit Hole. And I think it's whatthebleep.com is their website. But what's interesting is they actually show how quantum physics can back up spirituality and religion. And when you talk about being spiritual, I think true spirituality is the greater spirit in everything, and everything on this planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's more of a collective thing, and I wish
what it is. That, but you know, see, now you're getting into it, and that's what reincarnation people believe. You know that somehow all the beings in all the worlds, and anybody that thinks this is the only one is nuts, as far as I'm concerned. Are, you know, their subconscious minds are in direct contact with each other. And that these collective minds create a life-giving force that I call God.
You're on very, very similar lines with me on that. And with that, Wayne, we're pushing way past a break at
the moment. Yeah, I bet we are, man. In fact, you know, should the show have ended 20 minutes ago or what?
No. It hasn't gone by quite that quick yet, Wayne, but
all right, brother.
I tell you, man, it's really great to hear from you, and thanks for everything that you do, and we look forward to hearing you anytime we have to fill this show in and possibly
on our show.
Listen,
man, I've been listening to your Saturday shows, too, so I want you to know that. I'll be talking to you again.
Right on.
And thanks again.
Right on, man.
I think you're doing a hell of a job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks a lot.
Well, oh, God, I almost sounded like George Bush.
We do.
Jesus. I meant it in the greatest.
You have to talk like this, Wayne.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to get off here before I goof up more. See ya.
Right on. You take care, bud.
All right, Wayne. Thank you so much, man, for that telephone call. John, I did have one little correction I wanted to make. Biden is from Delaware. He's not.
Oh, is it Delaware? Sorry. That's.
And I also, I've had a couple of inquiries since we've started the show, and that is that there is, if you want to get to the show post to be able to leave a comment for Bob, go to the front page of headonradionetwork.com. Just type that into your web browser, hit enter, headonradionetwork.com. The title of the show post is Head On with Bob Kincaid, and then today's date, 4/19/06, and underneath that is the show post. And you can see a little thing where it says comments. Click on the comments, and you can leave a comment. But, you know, I know that there's several people that wanted to leave a comment. I know that there's CB has already left one, so thank you, CB. But if you want to leave a comment, please do that. Go to headonradionetwork.com. If you want to get in on the radio program, you can do so by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, head on. This is Bruce Birch. That's John Fox. We're covering for Bob Kincaid tonight. This is Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-4255. 8580. Or go to PeaceCorps.gov.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Lots of experts talk about the ways that schools should inspire students to be creative. How you doing? I'm John Prime. They say that helping young minds tap their creativity is just as important as mastering math or their English skills. And of course, all parents love to experience the joy of seeing and hearing something their child has created. Well, one of the best places creativity is actively encouraged is in music class. There you'll find kids working out a phrase in a choir part, learning technical stuff such as fingerings on an instrument, or even composing and arranging music on computers. Music classrooms are bursting with creative energy, just waiting to be explored by young minds. So don't let it go to waste. Support your school music program. Thank you.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
On with Bob Kincaid. Bob is still off for a couple of days taking care of family business, and you have John Fox and Bruce Birch from 40.
Are you sure he wasn't abducted by aliens, John?
No, I actually do believe he got in his own car with his own family members and drove off under his own will, so I'm not really all that concerned about that part of it. however, we have Mr. Jim on the line. Jim, you there?
Yes, sweetie, see?
Hey, mate, how are you?
Top of the evening to you, Jim.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you doing?
We're doing great.
Good, good. Listen, I would just like to say a few things. And first is to echo my good friend Wayne's opinions of the job that you're doing, which I think is very good. The reportage is excellent. The sense of humor is good. It's just been a good mix, and I like it. Okay?
Thanks, Matty.
And, well, thanks a lot, Jim. And when Bruce and John get here, we'll let them know.
Well, okay. All right. Am I free to continue? Hello?
Please do. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, please do, Jim. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. But, you know, I heard my good friend Wayne on the air, and even though Wayne and I have agreed to disagree on certain topics, I can say one thing about Wayne. He is a stand-up guy, and he will definitely kick ass and take names, and he's the kind of person that when the chips are down and the red light's blinking, you can depend on him. And that's the highest accolade I can pay anybody.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. When the rubber meets the road, Wayne's right there, man. And that's the kind of people we need on our side.
Well, right. And he doesn't mind getting his hands dirty either. You know, he has to be, he believes in doing what has to be done. And I certainly tip my hat to him for that. And, you know, moving on to other things, with
absolutely
the demise of Mr. McClellan and some of the other members of the administration, I can only view this as a good sign. And it's kind of like what one other guy said in another war, when things begin to get slightly better. This might not be the beginning of the end, but it could be the end of the beginning for the Bush regime.
Okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And things may be, it's, you know, these guys, they have imploded so many times, it's like there's nothing left to implode. But I'm sure they're going to infuse themselves with some new sort of energy that's going to carry them at least for another couple of years.
Well,
unless.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, eventually, even the finest war machine under that type of pressure will begin to break down and disintegrate the way the one did under the Third Reich, you know?
Yes,
I mean, there's so many caves,
absolutely.
There's only so many caves these guys can hide in.
I tell you this, it's a very interesting kind of, it is going to be a very interesting time dealing with all this, because they've gotten rid of the mouthpiece that no one believes anymore. And I wonder if the American people will buy into, like, this Fox News guy and suddenly think that they're getting a straight story. Or will the American people continue to just, no matter who's in that position, not believe them? Because it's not who's giving the message, it's who's feeding the message.
I don't know. I think that eventually this entire machine, the way it has been running and conducting a war against the middle class, is going to be like those Martian fighting machines in War of the Worlds. Eventually, and their efforts to destroy and not replace and to wreak havoc and not provide any type of peace, they will begin to taste of their own mortality. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. We can only hope. We can only hope.
Well, I mean, you know, basically, in 1940, who would have thought that, you know, Great Britain combined with the United States and the Soviet Union would have overturned Adolf Hitler. I mean, you know, Hitler at that point seemed invincible. And there was a time when these people have seemed invincible. But they've long since passed that point. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think Bush is beginning to meet his Stalingrad. And I think that from now on, the cry for the opposition will be forward to the Vistula, and then let's on to Berlin.
I keep wondering, you know, as all this noise continues about Iran, which is, you know, I mean, most of it's complete BS because they're still not in violation of anything. And like you say, you know, if he's facing the same kind of moment in his useless and destructive political career, I just wonder if, because we're now in the era of nuclear weapons, is he going to take that last step to make sure that, you know, he can just, I don't know, cause so much destruction that he's never held accountable? And I'm really worried.
To issue something like the order that Hitler issued to Albert Speer, blow up everything?
Well, yeah. Blow up everything. Well, yeah, and I keep wondering, you know, there have been people trying to push to repeal the amendment that has the term limit on the presidency. And I still have this thing in the back of my mind, if this joker ends up going into Iran, I can kind of see him suddenly using some sort of executive order to put off the next election indefinitely.
That's definitely within the possibility, yes, as the last-ditch measure. I mean, this would be, as far as I'm concerned, the equivalent of the night and fog decree. If they do that, then you're going to see people just start disappearing into the night and fog as well. And I think they have to be stopped before then.
Oh, we need to remove them. They cannot be allowed to finish their term, because that would almost
they need to be exiled.
Solidify some. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I hope they could be impeached, and then they tried, and then found guilty, and sent to prison for their crime, legally.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, I tell you what, we're just about up on the news. We've got about 30 seconds. Can you hold on till after the news?
I certainly can. No problem.
Okay, mate, just hang tight there. Agnes, we will go ahead and take that news break so we don't push long like we did yesterday. And you're with Bruce and John filling in for Bob Kincaid on Head On Radio, and Wayne's on hold, and we'll all be back straight after the news.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
As Walmart wraps up its public relations media conference in Arkansas today, former Walmart worker Greg Pierce says that morale among Walmart workers is very low, and they often talk with each other about the national campaign to improve conditions for Walmart workers. Pierce says in addition to low wages and inadequate health care, Walmart workers often face abrupt changes and reductions in their work hours. He's convinced that a union is the only real hope Walmart workers have to improve their conditions, and he says to make that happen, Walmart workers should stand up and speak out for their rights.
Martin Luther King Jr. said that oppression can only survive through silence. And if I had one more thing to say, I would call for all Walmart workers that have something to say and that want their voice to be heard to go ahead and speak out. You're an American. You have that ability. Use it.
New York City transit workers have voted to approve a contract offering the same terms as one they rejected in January, but it's unclear whether the vote will result in a contract agreement. A judge has hit TWU Local 100 with a $2.5 million fine, and its leader, Roger Toussaint, with a 10-day jail sentence for last year's illegal strike. The fine is likely to be appealed. New York City's Mass Transit Board, meanwhile, will be presented with the union's contract vote at its meeting on April 26th.
Planet Check. Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now.
Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Two-thirds of national workplace injuries may be missed by the current surveillance system used by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. According to a study in the April issue of the Journal of Occupational and Environmental Medicine, the Bureau of Labor Statistics failed to account for 61% of work-related injuries and illness. The study was conducted by Dr. Kenneth D. Rosenman at Michigan State University in East Lansing. Rosenman and his colleagues combined four databases used to identify workplace injuries resulting in more than seven missed workdays over a three-year period in the state of Michigan. Their study found 79,400 injuries and illnesses fitting their criteria, while the Bureau only reported 30,800 in that same time period. In the study, Rosenman suggests factors that may contribute to the BLS missing data. For example, the government system excludes federal workers and the self-employed. The study suggests that if the Bureau switched to a census system, such as the one used to track work-related deaths, it would help improve reporting.
The Boston Marathon this week attracted a half million spectators and thousands of runners, including WIN's own Greg Gordon, who finished in 3 hours, 10 minutes, 20 seconds. That qualifies him for next year's run, but he says the 26 miles was a tough run psychologically.
I lost the psychological battle because even though my time is fantastic, I finished in the top 10% of everyone, mentally and psychologically, it was a tremendous struggle for the entire race. My mind drifted and I kept counting the miles and counting every step.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Well,
All right, you're back on. Head on with Bob Kincaid. Bob is not in the. Bob has left the building. Bob is not in the house tonight, but Bob will be back tomorrow night for his show tomorrow night. We just had a bit of a conversation with Mr. Kincaid, and he indicated to us that he will definitely be back on tomorrow night here on his radio slot, 7 to 10 every evening. Now, if you would like to send Bob a message, please do so. Go to the front page of headonradionetwork.com, and there's a show post there, and it's entitled Head On with Bob Kincaid, and it has the date and a little comments section. So click on that big title there, and it'll take you right to that show post. You can leave a comment for Bob if you'd like to do that. There's already three comments there. Dig that. Good stuff. Also, we're chatting in the Head On Radio Network chat room. As our friend Wayne said earlier, we may rename it. We'll call it the Head On Radio Family chat room. But do go check that out, too, if you're interested in that. Mr. Fox, are you still with me down there in Australia?
Yeah, I just got back just in time for the music with my tea. The kettle was slow.
All right. Fantastic. Well, I'm glad you got your tea, because I didn't get mine yet. But that's okay. I'm drinking a Thomas Kemper vanilla cream soda right now. I don't know if anybody's aware of that. First time I'd ever seen it out here in California.
Right.
Did I tell you the story about running seven red lights, John?
I think you did.
Okay. Well, yeah. I had to get to the show on time. Always have to be on time. So I ran seven red lights in Bob Kincaid's honor to be here tonight. We were talking about a number of things, and we left our friend Jim on hold there over the break and over the Workers' Independent News. And Jim, are you still with us?
I am, sir.
All right. Fantastic.
I'm
now,
sipping my Campari and soda.
What's that now?
Sipping on a glass of Campari and soda. It's real good.
Oh, cool.
How very chic.
Well, why not?
Now I'm being told there's a guy named Peter in the chat room, Jim, who is saying to me that if you don't come to the chat room, he's going to start calling every night doing a Diamond Lil bit, and he says you'll know what he means.
Really? Well, I will
give
him some of my John Waters autographed posters. And I'll personally...
Okay, well,
you can tell him that I even have correspondence from Edith Massey, and who played, in Pink Flamingos. He'll know what you're talking about, okay?
I think he probably just heard you, so you can tell him directly if you want.
Well, God bless him. But, you know, going back to the current subject of what we were discussing about this administration, I'd like to invite your attention to this month's Vanity Fair, the green issue, and it basically deals with the environment. And it has on the cover pictures of George Clooney, Julia Roberts, Robert F. Kennedy, and Al Gore, and the call for a new American revolution. And basically, it is an incredible series of articles on what is happening to this country and the world, which, of course, this administration has so cavalierly denied. And this current, regime, this current regime has cherry-picked the science on climate change just like it cherry-picked the intelligence on the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And there's some very striking photographs in the issue of this month's Vanity Fair, the green issue, of our cities like New York and Washington, San Francisco, and other major port cities, semi-inundated. You know, the canyons of Manhattan are filled with streams of salt water, and the corridors of power are about 3 or 4 feet under seawater themselves in Washington. So, I mean, it's a very interesting article. I mean, these people have been so nihilistic in their approach. Not only do they wish to destroy social programs and people, but they want to destroy the entire world itself, and they're denying that it's happening, which I think is unforgivable.
Hello. Sorry, mate. Jim, can you hear me? This is John.
Barely, John. Barely. At first, I heard you five by five, but now it's a little.
Okay. Is that better? Can you hear me a little
somewhat,
bit better there?
Somewhat.
Okay. Now, in this issue of the magazine that you're speaking of, are they speaking along the lines of, I heard Al Franken pushing last year the idea of an Apollo project for green energy. You know, if we were able to set a timetable to get to the moon in a decade, why can't we use that same American ingenuity and focus to actually put real funds into developing other sources of energy to get us off of the crude oil teat?
Well, you know, there's no source of alternate energy mentioned, but I know that Al Gore is coming out with a film this spring, and I've forgotten the title of the film, but it could be one of the most important films ever produced, and certainly one of his greater contributions to the American people and to the peoples of the world. Because when I view the former Vice President Gore, he's more than just the Vice President of the United States. He is a man who has, you know, I think he feels as though he has responsibility for the entire world on his back. And he's a good person, one of the better people who ever served in that office as Vice President.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that I think was, when it comes to Al Gore, when he ran in 2000, I think that his environmental stance and the fact that he was going to go after the big corporates for what they get up to was one of the big reasons that they had to shut him down, because he had said outright he was going to go after the corporate crooks and go after the environmental crooks.
And being the intelligent man that he is, and being the resourceful man that he is, they saw in him a very dangerous enemy, and they had to shut him down any way they could, to the point of stealing an election, which they successfully did.
And now I think
the chickens are beginning to come home to roost to these people.
I agree with you, and it wasn't just cherry-picking the science. They went out and wrote their own so-called science. And that's what's really scary, you know, and they're able to do this stuff under the guise of corporate free speech, which I think is an absolute joke. But, you know, I sometimes wonder, you know, and I bet we all do this, you know, kind of envision where we'd be if Al Gore had been able to take office rightly.
Oh, we would be a hell of a lot better off than we are now. We would not be in Iraq.
Yeah, we would.
For sure.
And I honestly think, mate, that if Al Gore had been president, 9/11 very well may never have happened.
I concur, absolutely. I mean, 9/11 has been the raison d'etre, the reason for being for the entire Bush administration. Without 9/11, Bush would have had no administration. This has been what has kept him going. And then, of course, the debacle in Afghanistan. I mean, let's face it. When we're in Afghanistan chasing these people around, okay? And the minute we vacate a certain area, the Taliban is back with the opium, with the caches of weapons. And our men are over there fighting or losing battles. The only safe area in Afghanistan might be around the capital at Kabul, just as though the only safe area in Iraq is around the Green Zone or the government quarter of Baghdad in that country. I mean, I don't think 9/11 would have happened. We wouldn't have gotten involved in this mess in Afghanistan. We would not have gotten involved with this mess in Iraq. And we would have been more fiscally responsible. We would still have a surplus. And he would have been a much better steward and custodian of the American taxpayers' dollar than these so-called fiscally conservatives have been, which is an absolute joke. They have just pissed away money hand over fist. And, you know, I don't understand how these people can be allowed to remain at liberty once their sins are found out and they've been judged for their crimes. I really believe that strongly, and they're being punished.
I want to see them punished at The Hague in such a bad way.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Let's do that. That's fine. But let's hope that we have more success in punishing these war criminals than we did at Nuremberg. Now, back in 1946, at the opening of the Nuremberg War Trials, Chief Justice Jackson said, "We cannot ignore the mistakes of the past regime because history cannot bear them being repeated." Now, what has happened in 1946 in this world?
Okay, you know what, Jim?
How many hundreds of million people have died unnecessarily? And I hope that if we do have a set of trials, that they will definitely mean something and people will begin to pay attention to them, and we can profit by begin to profit by our own mistakes. I just hope so.
All right. Matey, we're getting the music for a break, and as always, it's a pleasure for you to ring up, so we will hear you probably with thanks for ringing, buddy.
Good night, gentlemen.
All right, man. We're going to head out to break. Bruce and John will be back covering Bob Kincaid before he comes back tomorrow, and we'll see you on the other side.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Anne Braden.
You know, I got interested in Anne's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Sure. I mean, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
We're a nice little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
Back on you're back on Head On with Bob Kincaid, and this is Bruce, and that's
John Fox.
John. And we are subbing tonight for Bob Kincaid because Bob is on walkabout. He had to deal with some family stuff, and so if you'd like to send Bob a message, you can do so by going to the front page of headonradionetwork.com. I understand he's also in the chat room chitty-chatting away, so do join him in there. One of the things that happened, I'm not absolutely positive that it was this week, but it was recently, that our good old Torturador González, Torturador means the torturer, by the way, Torturador González, the Attorney General González, the guy who's the chief law enforcement officer who tends to break more laws in a given day than most of us have the opportunity to, you know, use gasoline. I mean, this guy's, you know, he's like, wakes up in the morning thinking, okay, what can I do today to break some more laws? But, Mr. Torturador González, he is, has decided that there is actually not really a war in Iraq. It's not really a war in Iraq. And I know that sounds very interesting and strange to most of you, but, according to Mr. González, Mr. Torturador, there is really not quite the same thing as it's not really a war. Agnes, could you go ahead and run that Gonzalez clip for us? I'm sure it'll be there in just a second.
Okay. Okay. I guess we didn't quite get the clip there, or bug out.
Oh, she's saying it's won't play. But anyway, in the clip, Mr. Gonzalez, sorry about that, folks. But in the clip, El Torturador says that essentially the president the Congress never declared war. He says in this clip, and this was at a hearing recently, he said, Mr. Torturador Gonzalez says that according to his understanding of the authorization to go after the folks who committed the acts on September the 11th, that those authorizations involve that basically the president can just pretty much invade wherever he wants. That's right, folks. You heard it here first. The president probably will not go to Congress.
Well, he didn't go to Congress the last
for Iran.
He didn't go to Congress for Iraq either, really.
And
he never got a declaration of war, did he?
No, he never did. But he did get an authorization from Congress to use force to uphold resolution. I think it was 1441.
But he had to go back to the UN and justify it. And he never did.
Well, I understand that. My point being is that Gonzalez never says anything. He never, you know, so like I said, he gets up in the morning and he's like, why can he break the law some more? He gets up in the morning and he says to himself, oh, I've got to go before Congress. Actually, he says, I've got to go before Congress today, and how can I try to figure out a new way in which to say some of the same old things that need to be said? And actually, the reality is that this guy does this. He wakes up. He says, I'm going to go before Congress. He tries to explain past mistakes using ambiguous language to set themselves up so that they can make, so that when they do future things, they can always say, well, see, we set a precedent back in 2003 with the Iraq thing. So therefore, we can invade any country that we'd like because we have the power. We have the unitary executive power.
Well, and when I watch the clip, do you see the sick little grin he's got as he spews this garbage? It's insane.
Yes, I do. Actually, he reminds me of Pinky in the Brain, honestly.
Hey, Bruce. I think I have something I'm going to have to do when we talk about Gonzalez from now on. We'll see if this works. Just hold on a second. Maybe we have a new intro for him.
Torturador.
The evil AG.
Torturador.
Anyway, that's enough of that garbage.
Torturador. Well, I do, but yeah. This is the Mexican crap dance. I'm thinking. I'm not sure. I think Agnes says she has that clip fixed and reloaded. Let's see if we can hear that clip. All right, let's try one more time so we can have that thing pop off here. Let's try that.
If I could just also make one final point.
Fair enough.
There was not a war declaration either in connection with Al-Qaeda or in Iraq. It was an authorization to use military force. I only want to clarify that because there are implications. Obviously, when you talk about a war declaration, you're possibly talking about affecting treaties, diplomatic relations, and so there is a distinction in law and in practice, and we're not talking about a war declaration. This is an authorization only to use military force.
It is.
Okay, wait. Okay, let me get this straight. Let me get this straight, Tornador. Let me get this straight. Okay, this is not really a war. This is not a war declaration. This is an authorization to use military force. What the hell is the difference? Tell me. Because you know what? The authorization to use military force is the same freaking thing as a war declaration. What the hell? How could it be any different? How could it be any different, John? Tell me.
It's not, man. This is all the disinformation campaign. Again, rewriting and taking control of the language. But I watched that clip, and I just, you know, even before he opened up his mouth, those peering little slitty eyes going, here I go, undermining the democracy again.
I get to set the rules.
Man.
I'm wondering if Torturador Gonzalez ever really, you know, stuck to the rules in Monopoly. What do you think, John?
Probably not. I bet he ran the bank and was constantly giving himself cash.
I've just been accused of popping a vein. I didn't pop a vein. That was a blood vessel that time. But it just makes me so. It gets me. You know, it's the language. They are using the language to create an entirely new version of reality in this. And I got to tell you, folks, we have to grab this language back. Authorization of military force. I'm sorry, it's the same thing as a declaration of war. There is no difference.
Well,
don't you start hedging on me either.
No. I'm right with you. There's no difference in the actual literal meaning. But they're playing legal games, trying to, you know, justify themselves. Like you say, it's this backdoor justification and legalization. I just start wanting to jump up and down and spinning in circles when I hear this stuff because he says nothing. You know, it's the same kind of scripting as McClellan's been doing. You know, talking forever, never answering a question, and saying nothing or lying and somehow making it sound like truth.
I understand, John, that our pal Wayne is back and has something that he needs to share with us. Wayne, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Listen,
okay,
I don't want to take up any more time. I want to remind you, you guys have read the story about Colin Powell's article where he admitted he lied. He went before the UN and lied.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, have you read that?
Yes.
Yes,
wow.
I have.
I've read it, and I also saw the 2020 interview in which he basically said that was the worst day of his career.
Exactly. And, stuff like that gives me great hope. I mean, people, Colin Powell, I had the greatest respect in the world for Colin Powell for many, many, many years until he went before that council, the UN council, and showed them phony pictures and stuff and, I mean, my God, you know.
Well, we thought
he was.
I
mean, I don't know which one's worse, him or John McCain. You know, these guys have sold out their souls to this idiot.
Do you remember that phony bioweapons factory they were talking about? I think that was actually a Walmart distribution center. I'm thinking that was the picture.
Yeah, You know, I mean, that's how good our intelligence is. You know.
Well, with outing a CIA agent and exposing the cover company, the entire intelligence gathering system has been disabled. So that allows Bush to say, "But everyone has the same intelligence," and it says this, and it's like, "Well, it's because it's the same. It's everyone has the same bogus intelligence."
Yeah, right. I'm crazy because I'm crazy.
A couple of months ago, Colin Powell's former chief of staff was down here in Australia, and he did an interview on Late Line, which is one of the more in-depth things on public broadcasting here, and he sat there and basically said flat out that Powell was given a script. He was handed the script and actually said, this is all BS. And
yeah.
He said in the interview, I want my party back. These people are radicals.
What back?
my party back. He's a Republican.
Okay, okay.
And he says, I want my party back. And his description of the Bush regime was, these guys are modern-day Jacobites.
God, what the hell kind of word is that, man? What's that mean?
Is that one of those Australian words? Like,
it must
like
be. Something. I mean, no, did a kangaroo bring
no, 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 no.
What,
this,
man? What's going on this, here? What's that word?
The Jacobites, I'm trying to remember. They were right wing fanaticals sometime back in history, and right now I can't remember what.
I got the description in my mind, pal.
Well, I'll probably be able to clear this up after the show because my missus knows the background on that because she was the one that pointed me to the quote and explained it to me. And, I, of course, my sieve of a brain, I can't remember this kind of stuff. So.
All right, look, I called and told you I don't want to take up any of your time, and I already did. But
hey, mate, you always have good stuff to bring on, but and we appreciate it. We do have a brand new caller waiting on the line.
And, well,
so,
we can do them on.
And you bring up great points as usual, man. And you can always ring this show back and
okay,
ring our show anytime.
Talk
all
to
right,
you later.
Boy, take care and thank you.
Bye.
Right on. And Agnes, we have a new caller by the name of Mike on the line. Is that right? Is that what I'm getting here?
I hope so.
Mike, how you doing? Welcome to Head On. Where are you calling from?
Panama City Beach, Florida.
Oh, you're near Panama Rick then.
Yep, right down the road.
Do you guys
know each other?
No.
Oh, well, you should, man. This is all about connection and community. You know, go down there and beat him with a stick or something. I don't know.
Well, we ought to sit down and have a couple of drinks and see what's going on.
Certainly seems like an interesting fellow to have a conversation
oh,
with.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Please do.
I have to make a quick correction. You guys were saying that the declaration of war and authorization for use of force are the same, and they're not. Legally, there's a big difference. And
that's what I was trying to say.
And since there is no declaration of war, every time, and Gonzalez just said it, right? There is no declaration of war. Then all of these putative powers of the war president are non-existent. They don't kick in unless there is an act of war.
Well, let me ask you this. I hear what you're saying. Let me ask you this, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now I understand about the legalisms and the sort of the intricacies of using certain kinds of language to indicate certain powers and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But in essence, isn't the final result fairly the same with troops on the ground somewhere?
In certain ways it is, but what you have here, since you don't have a declaration of war, that means that you don't, for one thing, you cannot have treason during a time of war, like Bill Bennett was saying today. Remember that?
Right.
You heard about that, right?
Didn't actually hear that, but I'm following where you're going.
Yeah.
Tell us about that because we were both kind of predisposed. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bennett was saying that. I forget the guy's name from the New York Times who came out with the NSA spying scandal, that he should be tried and thrown in jail for, you know, treason during time of war. And all these right-wing wackos who keep on talking about time, it's not a time of war. It is a time of military action, but it is not a time of war. Completely different
thing. So again, it's about the power of the language.
Correct. But law is language. That's the whole point. That's why you get an attorney, because that's what they're there for.
I need to unpop the vein then, don't I?
Well, it sounds like it's a war of semantics is what he's trying to wage, is just a war on semantics.
Right.
To try and give
them
this
thing is,
out.
He is admitted. From his own mouth, he has said that there is no legal justification for the unitary executive powers to be kicking in. He's admitted it. He's condemned himself and his own administration.
Oh, that they all have. But again, we still have yet to be able to hold them accountable to anything.
Right.
And that's what still constantly amazes me. I don't know if you all have been hearing, but the Solomon Islands are in meltdown right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard this?
No.
The Solomon Islands are absolutely in chaos at the moment. And it seems as though they had some election jiggery-poo go on.
Mm-hmm.
And the people saw, and the guy who was elected president, the people didn't elect, it seems. And the guy had to be rushed straight out of parliament, and now the cities are burning.
You mean they tried to emulate us and it didn't work as well?
Well, the thing that really bothers me is that the Australian Federal Police are in there, and we're sending troops in there to go and help the government of the Solomon Islands.
Yeah, but this is the same place that Abramoff and DeLay went to, and jiggery-pokeried with their legal system.
Yep.
To say that even though it's a U.S. possession, American law doesn't apply here either, just like it doesn't on Guantanamo.
Hmm. Yes, and here I'm watching a situation of the people have stood up, obviously,
mm-hmm.
and the surrounding nations are out to back the government, not the people, and this just really, really scares me. And there's some word that Australian Federal Police were involved in some of the violence as well, but none of that's been confirmed yet. Down there, and as far as I know, there's nothing going on. There is no media coming out of the place now.
Of course not. Well, Howard's a good fascist anyway. That's the problem.
Howard's a freak.
Oh.
It was interesting. A good friend of mine who runs a blog called The Road to Serfdom, he over the Easter holidays went to Canberra to go visit family, blah, 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 and there are some very, very hard conservatives in his family. No one in that family had any kind of a positive reaction about the oil for food scandal and Howard. They mm-hmm. all think it stinks to high heaven. So I'm going to be very curious to see what happens with the system down here, because we don't have this term limit thing, and Howard just keeps holding on to the job. And it's becoming very, very obvious that that the wheat trade was the plunder for Australia for backing the U.S. going into Iraq.
Well, it definitely should be. It definitely is. Getting crazy down there, but Mike, thanks for bringing that to my attention. I do stand corrected. On the one hand, I totally understand what you're saying. On the other hand, there is a reality that whether it's a declaration of war or whether they put authorization of force, it's to those people who are getting shot at and to those people who are doing the shooting, there isn't much difference. And nonetheless, that's how they can get away with legally sending these folks out there and making them cannon fodder, even though we're not at war. It's just insane to me. And in my mind, before we send any troops anywhere, it's my belief that there needs to be an absolute declaration of war, not an authorization of force. That's to me is like hedging your bets, and it's like being dishonest, and it's not being truthful to the American people. I still have a tough time with it. I appreciate your helping me to see the difference between those two things. So, are you still with us, Mike?
We must have lost him.
Lost Mike. Anyway, okay.
Well, see, this is what I was trying. He was backing up what I was trying to say is that he's playing this semantics game and trying to, with the use of spin, which we used to call lies, try and make it as though they're justified or as though their actions are legal, whatever. I do believe we have another caller. David from Maine is on line one. You there, David?
Yes, I am. Good evening, guys.
Top of the evening to you, Dave. How's it going up there in down east? Or
in Maine?
Down east? Is that how you say it up there?
It's quiet as usual, and they need to change their name, Vacation Land. I live in the capital of Augusta, but I always thought they felt sorry for us, and they decided to give it to us instead of Portland.
Why do you think that?
But there's nothing really in Augusta. The people around here, they all come from out of town, so to speak. Most of the people. And I think the total number of people is under 100,000 or something. So, you know, I don't think it's really the capital. But anyways, I wanted to talk about something that was under the radar. I haven't heard you guys talk about it, but I think it's funny. Condi Rice in that photo op with the dictator. I just think that's the funniest thing. I mean, he was on the parades. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but he was on parades top 10 dictators 3 years in a row. And wait, it gets better, guys. I'll have to send you the picture or whatever. You guys, maybe you guys can talk about it on Fourth Estate, because I think some people should talk about it. She actually called him a good friend. She called him like they were friends or whatnot. So this kind of conflicts with what the administration was telling me. Do you mean to tell me? Are they hypocrites? She said he was a good friend, and she kept on talking about how I guess the press wasn't allowed there. They were only allowed one photo of it, but there is a photo with her and that dictator. You guys still there?
Well, yeah, I still am. It never amazes me. Well, you know, the State Department put out that list of the 100-page or 1,000-page document about the worst human rights violators around the world. And yet we're kidnapping people, snatching them off the street, putting hoods on their heads, throwing them in the back of the vans, putting them in planes, flying them to secret prisons in Morocco where we torture them and then call it democracy.
You know, it's ridiculous. And I was thinking of something the other time where someone was saying, well, what is the main goal of the neocons? And you know what? It's like joining an organization like the Boy Scouts or like a sports club. There isn't one reason. Some people join for the girls. Some people join because they like the sport of it. Some people join because they think they're going to gradually go to another level and be more accepted in society. And I realized something, that every time we put out, you notice how we put out something with the oil and the war? We say, oh, it was for oil, oh, it was for this, and we give a bunch of reasons. The conservatives can never get their head wrapped around that because they're so lockstep trained in their mind, they can only have one reason. What's the one reason? They will not take 10 different things because they're so lockstep, they're trained, that it can only be one answer.
Yeah. It's actually quite sickening to watch.
I know it's quite sickening.
Kinda sleazy Rice. I mean, she hangs out with the worst of them, man, and really has a good time just sucking up to some of the worst dictators that are out there. And my view, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it again, I really think this woman is going to end up as the vice president of the country and will eventually try to be elected to president. And I think that's what this is all about.
So that makes me physically ill.
So Bruce, what do you think about the Divine Strike thing in Las Vegas?
The what? Say that again?
The Divine Strike?
Oh, And you're talking about the big bomb that we dropped?
Yeah, well, I mean, don't you think that...
Here out by L.A. or Las Vegas pretty soon?
Yeah, don't you think, though, that the radiation and whatnot, they should warn the citizens at least instead of just putting a press release on the Internet or something?
Well, they say it's not going to be... that it's going to be a conventional bomb. I could have read the wrong news story because I'm sure they put out about four or five different ones, each one with different information.
Right.
The first release that I read a couple weeks ago said that this was going to be a 5,000 ton bomb, the largest one ever detonated, and that it was not going to be a nuclear bomb. It was going to be a conventional bomb.
You know, if I was Aaron Brockovich, I would start filing my legal suits for radiation poisoning or whatever. Not to be funny,
but,
But I think
you know what, you're absolutely right. You know what, you make a great point in that the dust that they're going to be stirring up probably still is radioactive. Hey, I didn't even think about that.
That's what I was thinking about, Bruce. You know, they're conducting these tests underground in areas that we know are irradiated. And again, this is, just shows a complete lack of, as we say in Australia, duty of care to the public.
Well, what duty of care? These are people who are like who created the Clear Skies Initiative, and all it's been doing is clearing the skies of all of the birds. You know, the clean air, the healthy forests. If we cut them all down, they won't be there.
Absolutely, you know, and you know, they don't want all those birds, you know, clogging up the skies for, you know, whatever. You know, that Clear Skies Initiative should have been more named, you know, Clear the Legislation Initiative, because, I mean, it just opened up a free reign, and, you know, it's only been since this administration's been in that all lakes in Minnesota you cannot eat the fish out of. The land of 10,000 lakes, and that has actually happened in this administration's time in office.
Before I go, I also wanted to hip you guys to a story. I don't know if you heard about it, but a Tom DeLay appointee was caught with a 5.5-ton cocaine bust.
Whoa!
He's part of a group called the Royal Sons. You know the Bill Hicks website, Mad Cow Productions?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you go there, it's the front page. It's got pictures and everything. That's something. There you go.
Emperor's New Clothes.
What's that?
Sorry, I always refer to cocaine as the Emperor's New Clothes drug.
Oh, well, I think that's something you guys could talk about on Fourth Estate. This story right here. I don't think anybody's touching on it yet.
Well, I'll definitely be going there after the show and checking up on that, because
I mean, they got pictures of the planes and the generals and everything. I mean, they do a really good job with it.
Right on, right on. We'll definitely have to check that out.
It's by Daniel Hopsicker.
I'm sorry, David. Thank you so much for calling in, though, tonight. We appreciate you dialing in to Head On with Bob Kincaid, sans Bob Kincaid.
No problem. You guys have a good evening.
You too, Nate.
You too. And I know that we were right hammering up against a break that we probably needed to have taken a few minutes ago, but, you know, we want to keep the callers on. You are listening to Head On with Bob Kincaid. This is Bruce Birch. That's John Fox. And I think we need to slide on over to a break here really quick. What we'll do is we'll be back here very soon. If you want to get on a radio program, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366 or send us an email, john@fourthestateradio.com or bruce@fourthestateradio.com. We'll be right back.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. Hertenew oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Listen to me, Shirley Jones. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit, and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
And then highlight his name. All right, this is Bruce Birch, and I got a little bit of an echo there, Agnes, if you can hear that. But we're back on Head On with Bob Kincaid. Sorry about that. We're having a little bit of a technical difficulty this evening, and it looks like we're having just a little bit of a strange situation going on. So if you would just try to hang on with us, and let's try to see what we can do with this. My friend
John is down there in Australia, and John, are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Okay, well, maybe we're back on the air now. Oh, my goodness.
Wow, that was all very, very confusing.
Everything just kind of went a little bit nuts, though. We would appreciate very much if everyone out there just sort of, like, do try to give us a little bit of patience, if you can.
That was all very strange.
It was all very interesting. We were talking about some other stuff that... John, go ahead if you would. Yeah, we were talking about some things. One of the things was about the whole situation. We had a caller on the line there was talking about kind of sleazy rice.
Bruce, I hate to interrupt, but you've got a caller on line two, Joe Vecchio.
All right.
Right on. Well, bring Mr. Joe Vecchio on. Joe Vecchio, welcome to Head On with Bruce and John.
Hey guys.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
We're doing fine, you know, dancing around the internet connection a little bit here for a while, but all in all, we've been having a blast the last couple of days taking care of Bob. What's up with you?
Well, you know, I'm working hard and just trying to do my job and then put out the reports every day and then all the other stuff, but you know, I didn't know, I just found out today that what was going on with Bob's, and I heard that you guys were filling in, so I thought I'd give you a call and harass you. I'm calling the harass.
Right on.
You know, I listened to old talk about, you know, rice and you know, I've been hearing a lot about Rumsfeld lately and all the different things and, you know, Iran and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, it gets to a certain point where we know these people are screwed up as they are. Let's just get them the hell out of office. And then we can worry about the whys and wherefores later. You know what I mean? Did I lose you?
I'm not sure if we lost them or not, but go right ahead. Tell me about it, Jeff.
Okay. Well, since Bob is there, I guess you hasn't been getting the report today. Or maybe you didn't get it yesterday either. But I said in my report today that even if by some miracle the Democrats manage to take control of Congress in November, I'm not sure we can count on them to do the right thing. I mean, I don't think they'll have the cojones to go out there and be aggressive, go out and try to impeach Bush, not just Bush, but several members of the administration. I don't know how you get rid of a vice president or a secretary of state and all that stuff, and secretary of defense. And, you know, start to make arrests and issue subpoenas and stuff like that. I just don't see them doing that because I still don't see them winning Congress to begin with in 2006 because of all the gerrymandering and because of Diebold and all that. And here's the deal. Here's what it comes right down to. We can't settle this. At this point, this can't be settled with anything less than a death blow for the entire administration, the Republican leadership, and the corporate backers who are corrupt in both parties. I mean, we not only got to get them out of power, but we got to take steps to keep them out for another century at least, and we have to make an example of them. We got to have the political equivalent of sticking their heads on a pike so that future generations can understand that there's going to be a huge price to pay for that kind of greed and arrogance.
Well, I agree with that, but I think one thing that could be done, I mean, are you in agreement? It just needs to be a house cleaning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, the entire, you know, Howard Dean and the other Democrats are putting it, the whole culture of corruption in Washington needs to be flushed out. We need to fix the election process. We need to fix the campaign finance process. We need to fix the lobbying. And by fix, I mean completely destroy and rebuild.
Exactly. Start from the ground up.
Yeah. And
don't take no on impeachment.
No, I won't take no. You know, I don't think it's a political possibility because there isn't enough evidence there to support it, but because the Democrats are too cowardly to pursue it. And like I said, even if they gain control of Congress, I don't think they'd have the courage to do it to begin with. I mean, the Republicans, they went out and did it over nothing.
Right.
Over a BJ, you know, I mean, for crying out loud.
A blue dress.
That's right.
And,
you know,
And one thing that I think that these people need to be reminded of is that they're working for us. It's not us working for them.
Well, they don't see it that way.
It's time they be reminded, though, don't you think?
Well, you know, the problem is that takes a lot of not political courage, not just from political parties, but it takes the American public, you know, coming out in huge, much huger numbers than they've been coming out before. And not just to vote, but to take to the streets. On Bart Kopp and some of the other blogs, I've noticed that they've got a thing going on for May 1st. Nobody buy anything on May 1st. Don't buy anything at all on May 1st.
Boycotting.
Everything.
Right. Okay.
And just to show, you know, my take has always been, I think everybody ought to take a whole month off.
I'd like to do that, but I'm going to turn you back over to the guys here.
Okay. I think we just took a few minutes off, Joe. Doesn't that count?
Joe? Did we lose Joe now? Oh, this is just one of those bloody days. His timing was great to show up when we fell off. We come back and then we lose and then we lose him.
I'm sorry, there are gremlins in the computer and I honestly will fix them.
No worries, Agnes. We know you're on it. But hey,
carry
this
on,
is,
guys.
This is
is Joe there?
I think we lost him. Unfortunately,
we lost him.
Okay.
Which is
and
a bummer.
No, I didn't cut him off. Joe, please call back if you can hear my voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, these things happen. You know something? This just goes to show you that doing this radio program, at the very best, is contained chaos. And you know, and Agnes is doing a great job of containing it. And we're just so thank you, Agnes. Not a big deal. The computer apparently has decided it's not going to work on May 1st or April 19th. So,
yeah, actually, I'm really bummed that we lost Joe because he's mentioning May Day, and our Australian legal correspondent Laurie Irvin, who we know is very well involved with Amnesty International and all and other things. Is working on getting us some national coverage over here from the May Day marches. And his little town of Townsville, Queensland, won the national award for the best march and activist movement, whatever, on the day. And he reckons it's going to be huge this year, so he's trying to get people in all capital cities and maybe a couple of internationals. So we're working on that at the moment. And we have Joe Vecchio back on the line. Joe!
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, sweetie.
Oh my!
We got Jerry. We got Jerry running around the computer, causing all these problems. What does this bite here do? Go for it, go for it.
Mary, why does this happen, Mary?
Let's all talk like Jerry Lewis.
Hey mate, I love Jerry Lewis, and I don't know if you remember a couple years ago he got hit with he got really sick down here in Australia, almost died.
Wow.
And I mic'd him up for his press conference afterwards, and in all my years of working with the large, famous, and or bloated, was one of the only times I actually ever felt in awe of real greatness. And he and I had a really interesting chat where he was talking about how he's starting to feel alone in the world at that time because he was the last of all of his mates left still walking. He's a really, really interesting guy.
He got real big, but I think he was starting to lose it a while ago.
Yeah, and I mean, it was actually meningitis that he got hit with here.
Okay.
And you know, spinal meningitis, which is a pretty scary bloody thing, and it was one of the funniest bits was he walks out into the press conference. He says, "Okay, y'all want the picture for tomorrow's front page?" And he does the classic thing with the glass of water, wraps his mouth around it, and with the big cheesy grin through the bottom of the glass, all the flash bulbs go off, and then he takes it out and he goes, "All right, let's get on with this thing."
Hang on a second, I want to switch phones here. Hang on.
No worries.
Don't you do it, Joe? Because if
there
you
we go.
Oh no, no.
Can you hear me better now?
Hear you better.
I
went from the cordless to my cord phone because the cordless is running out of power.
Well, and just so you know that when you're on the corded phone, it's much better connection over the radio.
I will make a point of that for the next time around. And a lot of people were making fun of him for that, and I just kept saying, "Look, you know, The man got sick. If you're going to, you know, there's plenty other reasons to go after this guy without bugging him over this stuff. I mean, you know, I thought that was inconsequential. But when you look at the stuff that they bugged Clinton over, I mean, stuff they just friggin' made up, you know. Okay. They just make stuff up and let's send it out to our right-wing radio people and let's send it out to our right-wing news people. And it gets out there. And then the mainstream press, as I call them, the so-called professionals, they pick it up because they're afraid to look like fools if they don't pick it up. So it gets, you know, it gets credibility. And it's all ridiculous.
Yeah, via the endless echo chamber. And this is where this you know, Fox twit, who possibly could become the new press secretary, to me it's just like, it's now officially Fox is now officially the government media.
Yeah, I wonder. Did they give a reason for McClellan retirement? At least did they make an attempt as an excuse, or is it supposedly part of the whole cleanup?
I think he was saying, it was more the vibe of this is a tough job and I've done enough.
Well, maybe his conscience was bothering him because you know what you have to do as Bush's press guy is unbelievable. You have to be able to stand up. Not that the press gives you a whole lot of trouble to begin with, but even the minimal trouble that they give you, I mean, the complete, you know, he's like Baghdad Bob. Remember Baghdad Bob?
Oh, yeah.
When we were going in, he's like, oh, the Americans aren't here. And meanwhile, there's video of a tank rolling right past him. Oh, the Americans aren't here at all. And this is the equivalent of, you know, a tank driving past the guy while he's saying, oh, no, we're not going to do this. You know, they'll be standing on the he'll be standing with a picture of the crater in Iran saying, well, we didn't use nukes. And it's gotten to the point in this country where we're actually discussing about whether dropping a nuclear weapon on an undefended country is good for our national security. And it just goes to show how far we've fallen.
Oh, we've fallen. It's almost immeasurable. I wonder when the time comes that we actually get control of. How long will it take for us to recover from just the damage to our international reputation, if we ever can at all?
No,
I mean,
we're never
really going
to. We are never going to. One of two things is going to happen from this in the long run. The one thing is, in the worst case, I'm going to go to the extremes on both ends. Okay. The worst case scenario is that it really becomes every country for themselves. There's no more such thing as a United Nation, or if it exists, it's even more powerless than it is now. And then we have a lot more border wars and a lot more skirmishes. The other thing is, the other extreme, is that every nation in the world realizes that having one nation being that much more powerful than everybody else is a bad thing. So what they might finally do is finally begin the process of a truly global political organization, a new world order, for want of a better word, where you have like a UN, but imagine if the UN had rule of law and they had an army to back them up, a real army that was made up from people of all over the world, where no one nation has. It's like the states have the National Guard here, but you still have the military. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, it would remove a whole lot of game playing with coalitions and things, I would think. And you know, I could see there being a lot of resistance to an international army, but I can see where that could very possibly be, in a way, a good idea.
Well, you can't have a United Nations without it. You know, in that sense, when I say United Nations, I talk about the global political order. And for the lack of a better term, I'll call it United Nations. You can't have that without an army. Nothing happens without the military force to back it up, period.
Yeah, and it's hard to have the thing functioning when you have the largest nations not even paying their dues.
Right.
Which I don't know if we've ever started paying dues again, but I know that we hadn't for years. We hadn't paid our dues.
Well, you know, all them commies in the other countries, they want things like, you know, birth control for their poor people. We can't have that.
Mm. I heard you when we were having all the jiggery poo before with the connection, and we came back and you were talking to Agnes. You were talking about May Day. Were you not?
Yeah. I saw this on Barktop and a couple other places where they want to do for May 1st, they want nobody to buy anything. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. They want nobody to buy anything on May 1st. And I'm going to push that on my show, and I want to start watching, having everybody else do that. Frankly, as I was telling Agnes, I think we should go a lot further than that. I think everybody ought to stop work for 1 month, an entire month. Nobody go to work. The only people who should go to work are like hospital people, you know, important stuff. And if and we should go out there with people with baseball bats, and if we see anybody go into a job, we beat the crap out of them.
that's fairly extreme, Joe.
Hey, I'm an old union guy. You know what I mean? I mean, I grew up in a family that was union, and you know, all the stuff that we take for granted today, part of that came, a big part of it came because people weren't afraid to take to the streets. I think if we, you know, the objectivists and the libertarians, they talk about the motor of the world. I think we ought to show them who the motor of the world is. I think, you know, like what the French students did over something really, really small. They shut down that whole country. We ought to do the same thing.
That wasn't necessarily small, really, because the legislation that they passed there was very close to the industrial reforms legislation that came through here recently in Australia. It just happened to have a cutoff that dealt with younger workers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really wish that the rest of the world would take a cue from those French kids who said, you know, we're not going to be minimalized. We will not become second-class citizens in our own country, because they've done similar things over here, and I have watched union people from the day that it went into effect just be fired, then handed individual contracts to be rehired for the same jobs at, like, 70%, 60% the regular wages. No overtime, no breaks. Know nothing, and this is called legal reform.
Yeah, exactly. That's the term they like to use, and every one of it is just stealing from workers. And you know, I keep pointing this up because I talk to people where I'm currently working, and there's a lot of people of color where I work, and I heard some of them ragging on the Mexicans, talking about, you know, Mexicans coming and, you know, the usual stuff, keep stealing our jobs, stuff like that. And I got angry, and I said, the Mexicans are not your problem. The problem is the 10% of the people who are on top who are getting you and the Mexicans to fight amongst each other while they're picking both of your pockets. There's your problem.
No, you've nailed it on the head, man. And I really reckon that, you know, I've spoken to Wayne on this a couple times and a few other people. I think a big thing would be to go for the one global workers union.
You need global labor standards. That's right.
Right, a global label standard, and that would really, 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 you know, it's that thing. Regardless of whether the government's respecting the people's views, the people have their own force in which to move forward and make sure that they're protected. But, Joe, thank you so much for ringing in. We're coming up on a hard break here. And thanks for your patience with all the connection stuff. And you covered time. I mean, your timing was impeccable, mate.
Well, you know, I was glad to do it. I was glad we were actually able to have a conversation. On my show on Saturday, I was like all by myself. I had like one call the whole time, so I had to just ramble on for 2 hours. And I had guests planned, and they never showed up, and Phyllis never showed up. So, you know, it was Joe just rambling on. So I'm glad you guys gave me the opportunity to have a conversation here.
Oh, yeah, man. And sometime Bruce and I'll actually be prepped enough in time for our show to ring into you. It seems like I get to listen to about the first 45 minutes and then I have to shut you down to start doing some editing for our show. But really glad
about
that you're
doing a handoff. And that's what I'd kind of like to do, like what Jon Stewart does with Stephen Colbert. Just for the last couple of minutes, you guys ring in and then, you know, you talk about what you're going to talk about on your show. And then we just segue right into you.
I love it. I love it, Joe. I tell you what, we're hard up on this break. We will talk to you about this very, very soon, I reckon, man.
Take care, guys.
All right. Take care, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe show. That's on 8:10 Eastern time here on the Head On Radio Network. We're coming up on a break here, and Bruce and I will be back to talk about some more stuff, sanity. The juxtaposition of reality and non-reality, whatever. Anyway, Bruce and John will be back taking care of Head On Radio in just a minute.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show, where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
You're back on Head On with Bob Kincaid, and my name is Bruce. I'm not Bob. Bob's out there in Alabama. My friend John is with me, and John, I wanted to let you know something, my friend. As if you didn't know, I mean, you know, let's talk about human rights for a minute. I think every human ought to have the right to have to pay $4.50 a gallon for gas. What do you think? I think every human ought to have the right to have to pay $100 an hour to go see a doctor. What do you think, John?
Well, I also think that people have the right to work for less.
I think people should have the right to work for peanuts, literally peanuts, and cheeseburgers.
Interesting concept. Sounds like the current administration.
I think people should have the right to die miserable deaths. What do you think, John?
You're getting kind of dark on me, mate.
I think people should have the right to... Okay, let me just stop this now. Ladies and gentlemen, oil today hit a record $74 a barrel.
And it's not far off.
And gasoline in Brooklyn Heights today, highest in the nation, $4.50 a gallon. And the latest that I heard on U.S. wages were that it's an employer's market, meaning that if they want to pay you at the end of the week, it's their choice. They can pay you or not. They're not quite sure whether they're sure if they want to do that. And I also think it's a human right. We have the right to have a bag put over our head and slammed into the back of waiting vans and driven off to... I just need to stop this. This is not funny anymore, is it, John?
I'm getting sick.
It's not funny anymore.
No, It's not funny, and you're trying to make a joke, but unfortunately the joke has been on us for the past 5 years.
Yes, it has. Apparently, though, also today, John, I'm just reading, doing a little quick recap of some news stories. Apparently, also today, the Pentagon released an extensive list of the people who are in Guantanamo Bay concentration camp. 558 people are down there, human beings are down there in the concentration camp operated by the U.S. government at Guantanamo Bay. They've released the names of the folks who are down there, too. Now, I probably couldn't even begin to say most of these names. But there was a Freedom of Information lawsuit filed by the Associated Press, and this list was released today by the Pentagon in response to that lawsuit.
So we now have the names of all. So maybe some families might actually be able to actually have it confirmed that they're.
Oh my God! You mean habeas corpus? The possibility exists that they might even that habeas corpus might actually take effect at some point. Oh my God!
Excuse me while I go and roll another joint.
Goodness! You can't say that on the air. Damn it!
I meant like a Spike Lee joint.
Now the other interesting news that seems to be on the top of the heap, if you will, the top of the crap pile, if you will, is that apparently, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to check this story out, but apparently the CIA is also stepping up. Now let's just look at this, because they've figured out how to combat terrorism so well, now they're beginning to focus on guess who.
Who's that?
You're not gonna like this, John. They're beginning to focus on blogs. Now President Bush and the U.S. policymakers and the folks over at the CIA, because they're such good intelligence gatherers and they're great at what they do. They put these people in the field who speak Arabic and German and whatever else languages that they speak, and they go out there and they grab this intelligence. They hire people like the MEK there in Iraq who are terrorists. Send them into Iran to find out information. Guess where they're getting the majority of their information now? That's right, blogs.
There was just a... It's strange, because just yesterday there was I think it was an Australian media, watchdog thingy, released a report, and they said that blogs have too much influence on public opinion.
Influence. Oh my gosh.
You mean the corporate media doesn't like the fact that people are beating them to the punch over and over and over and creating our own echo chamber of much more dealing in factual based things. I think the internet is our echo chamber. And I thought it was a very interesting stance for, I believe, a study funded by the major networks said that blogs had too much influence. You following me here?
Oh, that's the funniest stuff I've heard all day, man. The major networks are funding a study about what influence... Oh, my God.
Okay,
let's look at this. The liquor industry is now funding a study to see what gets people drunk. I mean, come on. What kind of craziness is this?
They funded a study that's saying that maybe drunk driving helps people drive better.
You know what free speech is, John?
What?
It's what you get to say right before they hang you.
This is very true. This is very, very true. Also, on the Australian media... I actually rang into one of our networks last night out of frustration because we have three major networks here. We have the Australian ABC, which is like PBS in America, but slightly better funded. And there is also SBS, which is the Special Broadcasting Service, which is like the commercial arm of the ABC. And they show your international movies and whatnot, and they really cater themselves to the immigrant population or migrant population by showing, you know, programs from all over the planet. And that's how I watch Jim Lehrer every day. Well, they have probably one of the best newscasts when it comes to you know, not following a line. But this Iran thing, they constantly go down the line
of
Bush's accusations and never actually saying that Iran is in violation of nothing.
Iran's not in violation of anything.
And so I rang up their comment line yesterday.
The comment line?
Yeah, well, they actually air the comments in a program once a week. And they're usually pretty good about showing people not being happy about certain things. But they know me. I've emailed them before and I've corrected them before and seen the corrections come up, you know, a day or two later in the in their broadcasts.
How dare you correct the elitist media?
I hammered them on the whole CIA thing.
Oh.
I think was the last one because they were making very little of it. And
am I being a cynic? I can't help it, John. It's just I'm so sick to death of these people purporting to be experts at everything when you know good and well that you and I and our listeners and the folks that call into this program like Jim and Wayne and Gunny Bob from North Dakota and Rick from down in Florida, those are the experts, man. You know what I'm saying? These talking heads, they don't know S from Shinola. You know what I'm saying? I get a little bit wound up about it because the bottom line to me is that, you know what, those aren't going to be the people who solve the problems in this country. It's going to be people like you and me, John.
Well, yeah, and this is why, you know, Gail and I were just screaming last night at the television. You know, there's a reason why we watch SBS because it is probably the best of the newscasts that you can get here. And, you know, the Australian federal government has been trying to cut funding for the ABC, which also ends up influencing this commercial arm, SBS, very similar to some of the things that the right-wingers had done in, you know, with PBS over there, but, you know, not quite as extreme, but they had a very, very, shall we say, non-freedom of speech type person take over the head of the ABC, and it didn't go over well. But they've cut their budget almost literally in half. But since they've done that, the ABC has actually been going hard after the Australian government in ways that I've never seen them before. But it really worries me that when we're setting up very possibly to go into, you know, a radioactive conflict, that the one international media is you know, not doing the job. I'm being told that we need to take a break really, really badly here. So Bruce and I will be sorry.
That badly.
I missed the cue. Bad John. Anyway, Bruce and I will be back for the last half hour of Head On, filling in for Bob Kincaid. It's been a crazy evening or morning, depending on where you are. Bruce and I will be back straight after this break. Thanks, Agnes. Yes.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
it out. But I just thought it was so.
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish. It just freaks me out. Anyway.
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of six U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of My Grandmother Is Also My Lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Alrighty then, welcome back to Head On. Sans Bob Kincaid, but he'll be back tomorrow. It's about 35 past the hour, and Bruce Birch is still up in California. I'm in Sydney, and where were we, man?
Bark, bark. Bark, oh, I'm sorry, bark. I'm sorry. Quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack. Quack, 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 quack.
But it's got to be quacking going off into the distance. And
quack, 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 quack.
Fading out.
Quack, 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 quack. Quack, 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 quack. I think we have Jim on the line, John. Jim and John, and John and Jim. I think we have Jim on the line from Jim. Jim, are you there, Jim? Jim,
yeah,
hello, Jim.
Five by five.
Hey, Jim. What's shaking, baby?
Okay, looks like a duck, and walks like a duck, and talks like a duck. It is a duck, right?
It might be. If it looks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, it might be a fascist.
And I don't know. As far as this current regime is concerned, I say F a duck.
Quack, 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 quack.
You know?
I do indeed.
Anyway, I just wanted to make an announcement here, just totally disjointed. Okay, may I?
Absolutely.
Okay, on the Logo Channel, tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the morning, is John Waters' latest chef d'oeuvre. It's a low-down, dirty shame.
All right.
If you haven't seen it, you need to.
Now, what channel is this on now?
It's on Logo.
Logo?
Yeah, the gay channel.
Okay, I don't have that channel where I am.
Wait,
so.
See after you have it. And
tape it for me.
Area.
Tape it for me, Jim.
Well, I'll certainly do that. I'll try to. If you can set your DVR or your TiVo, you can pick it up if you have access to it. But that's just an aside here. You know, someone was making a comment about the technicality upon which we went to war and parsing
yes.
the words over the conditions of this, that, and the other.
I did, yes.
Well, you know, tell that to 2,400 families who've lost sons and daughters in Iraq.
That's exactly
tell
my
that
point.
To the people in Iraq, the hundreds of thousands, the 200,000, God only knows how many people it's going to end up being. And, you know, I guess it shows you it's important to know what words mean, but the effect is just the same. And, you know, gentlemen, I've worn my country's uniform, okay?
Yes, sir.
And I know what it's like to see bad things happen. And then I spent a lot of my life taking care of soldiers in medical action when I worked at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and also when I worked at Andrews Air Force Base and the Pentagon. And, you know, to have to deal with their family.
Sure.
And to try to get benefits and medical treatment for these guys. I mean, it's heart-wrenching. And the government can be pretty cruel. And, you know, they just, it's like they just used you up and discarded you and thrown you away in some type of waste basket. And that's the way to treat anybody. And I just wanted to interject that comment because I've seen this stuff, you know, firsthand. And
you know,
sometimes DOD can be pretty heartless.
You know, Jim, I work with homeless veterans in my regular job. I do another thing besides doing this radio thing. And a lot of the veterans that I've worked with have, have seen things that, I mean, I'm sure that you have also seen, but that a guy like me who never served can only imagine. And I work with these guys, you know, on a daily basis, and it is a struggle and it is painful. And I've heard the stories, and I've heard it breaks my heart, man. It breaks my heart. And then I turn around and see how the VA treats these folks. And it's almost like adding insult to injury. It's like, yes, you know, we love for you to serve, and we you know, they'll go to the high schools and they'll say anything in the world to get these folks to get into the military.
Oh, I did that one time. I used to try to sell the ASVAB.
Really? Wow. And then you get into the military and they don't give you or at least I don't know what it's like when you serve, but now they won't give them the proper body armor. They make it illegal for them to have armor sent from home to help protect them. They get out of the army, and they're being charged. They were, if I remember correctly, they were being charged for being in the hospital.
Right, and charged for meals too.
And charged for meals.
When that fat-ass Cheney went on the field and threw that ball the other night, don't you be rest assured that he wasn't covered with something from top to bottom inside that jacket.
You know, so it is extremely frustrating, and it angers me to no end. And you know, I have helped care for guys who went to war and never came back, but their bodies did, you know, and they're standing in front of me, and their eyes are open, but there ain't nobody home. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know. Listen, as far as these people in Washington are concerned, their lights are on, but they ain't at home. But, you know, now my era was Vietnam era, and I graduated from a military college called the Citadel. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not.
Yeah.
It's in Charleston, South Carolina. It's called West Point of the South.
Yes, I know the Citadel very well.
Well, I received in one afternoon 10 death notices.
Wow.
Of my classmates. I don't have any college classmates to speak of because they all came back in those aluminum caskets, draped with flags. And in later years, when I dealt with the situation again, and like during the first Persian Gulf War and some other things, to deal with what they call the cask of the action casualty officer. And okay. Then you have to contact what they call the PNOT, the primary next of kin, or the SNOT, the secondary next of kin. That's not an easy task.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be. And in this conflict war,
casualty area, casualty officer. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Was it Rummy that actually was used? I mean, this is how heartless these people are. Wasn't it Rummy that had a rubber stamp for a signature for the letters to the families of the fallen?
Oh, I'm sure he did. I mean, you know, listen, this guy doesn't even bother about the dead because he has somebody to count them for him. And, you know, he's a man, as far as I'm concerned, with no character, as well as just nothing, just a silk stocking filled with mud as far as I can see. And, you think of it, we've lost, 2,400 roughly, okay? And how many quarts of pints of blood are there to a man?
You know, it's
about six.
Yeah.
All right. 100,000 Iraqis. Well, you take that number and you multiply it times six, and you've got a veritable ocean out there. You know.
It is, and you know what? And it's and I can't help it. Every time I look into the eyes of these folks of the administration, what I see written all over them, Jim, is I see death. And there's no way that any man, woman, or child can come back from having made those kinds of decisions that they've made. You know, if you believe in karma, as I do believe in karma, there's no way they can recover from that this time around.
Well, I'll tell you, if you believe in karma, what goes around comes around. And these people are going to have a serious, price to pay for the butcher's bill they have created over there, okay?
And, absolutely. And you know what scares me worse than anything, though, Jim?
I get pretty upset, and I can hear Bob up in North Dakota, and I can hear the pain in his voice, and I can feel the pain that he emotes on the air sometimes. I can feel that.
Absolutely.
And on a lighter note, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get off here. I think my idea of the perfect replacement for the Scotty is to maybe to have a blow-up doll up there and to have Helen Thomas sitting there with a handful of darts.
Oh, that'd be great.
And so the first time one utterance is made this you know, fatuous or whatever, if she could just throw that dart and that doll was going to fart and fly out the window.
That would be hilarious.
I like the vision of that. And actually,
With sound effects like this.
Like I say, I mean, you know, John Waters would be a better spokesman than some of these people that they've had, really, honestly and truly.
Yeah.
You know, the director of Ill Thing or whatever. But I mean,
there won't
really,
be much.
I mean, it, because the sound of that thing flying out the window makes about as much sense as some of the stuff that I've heard come out of their mouths and doublespeak.
Mm. Yeah, it is. Well, Jim, I appreciate you definitely giving us a call again this evening.
Well, I haven't got to find any more time because I know there are a lot of people who would like to voice their opinions. But I just wanted to say that. I mean, you know, it's a serious business. I mean, you know, God, these people who cavalierly sign documents that send men to war, if they had to get in these foxholes and fight that war themselves, and they had to deal firsthand with the carnage that these wars create, maybe they would think twice. And I've always thought, why does it have to be a rich man's war and a poor man's fight, and old men who don't have many years of life left sending young men to die who have everything in the world to live with, families to come unto, children to raise, and families who have themselves nurtured them? And this is, in my opinion, the worst form of abortion possible.
Yeah. I agree, Jim. And Jim, you, as usual, with your eloquence, you hit the nail right on the head, my man.
Thank you, my friend. I enjoy talking with you. You've done a wonderful job, and my best regards to Bob and his father and the Kincaid family, and to Agnes. Agnes has done a great job tonight. I really think she deserves a hand of applause. Okay?
She certainly does. Absolutely.
Yeah, she's been working under fire tonight, man. And I reckon replacing Scotty with a blow-up doll with a remote control really isn't much of a change.
Well, like I say, if they could get Helen Thomas or David Gregory or somebody up there to Scott of Cajonas to throw the first dart and let it start and fly out the window, people might begin to see what's really going on because it made about as much sense, okay?
It definitely does.
Good night,
mate. We're up on our last break. Thanks for calling in again. You always bring something to the conversation, and we'll hear you on Bob tomorrow when he makes his eloquent return. So thanks again for ringing in, pal.
Listen, thanks for your good words. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, man. You're welcome. As we're coming up on a break, but, you know, Scotty McClellan pretty much was a blow-up doll with a remote control.
Quack, 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 quack. Quack, 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 quack.
Well, you know, it's been an interesting evening here, Bruce. We've had we've had some things to juggle and deal with, but we're going to take one last final break as we do our subbing here for Bob Kincaid on Head On. Bruce, we got to come back and wrap it up after this, man. We'll see you all on the other side of the break here. Somewhere in between,
she only shows to me. Hey, we're going out dancing, she's ready tonight. So damn good looking, boys, it ain't even right. And when the bartender says for the lady, what's it gonna be? I tell him, man, she ain't in wine and roses. Beer just makes her turn up her nose, and she can't stand a thought of sipping champagne. No Cuervo Gold Margarita.
Lottie in the chat room has fixed himself some stuffed pork chops with apple raisin walnut chuck.
You, me, Grace, Rama.
Mango chutney.
Hey, speaking of that,
it's all you need.
Mustard seed?
Mustard seed, yeah. That article.
It's not
there.
The same as mustard gas.
Well, it's pretty close. Mustard gas.
Join
mustard
Grace
gas
and Rama, homebodies, Sunday evenings, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network. It's food for thought.
Beep.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
She's black, flesh and bone, now touch the silicone. She's touch, smell, sight, taste, and sound.
And you're back on Head On with Bob Kincaid, and this is not Bob Kincaid. This is actually Bruce Birch. And, you know, if you've been listening to the program, you figure that out by now, and I know that you have because you're pretty smart. And over there is my good friend John Fox down in Sydney, Australia. We're wrapping the show here, aren't we, John?
Yeah, man, and Bob makes his triumphant return tomorrow, so we have to give the chair back up and have to settle with doing some news spots until Saturday night. But that's all good because this has been a real blast, you know.
It really has been. And my plan is tomorrow to try to I'm going to try to catch the show. I'll be flying into Los Angeles International Airport. That's right, folks, LAX tomorrow afternoon around 3 o'clock. So have the welcoming committee there.
Yeah, Bruce hint, hosts hint. Smell-A.
Yeah, it says hint hint CIA hint hint. Yeah. You can follow me. You can follow me to my undisclosed location north of L.A.
Bob's on line one, man. I think we got to get.
Let's take that call. Hey, Mr. Bob, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Bruce, how are you? Mr. John, how are you?
Good, man. How's things in Alabama?
95 degrees here today.
Bloody
in northwest hell. Alabama, near the Tennessee line.
That's
mind-boggling.
Nothing. That's nothing. Wait till it hits 120.
Yeah, no kidding. And from the looks of things, that's about June.
I'm going to say, that's probably right. Bob, did you hear today that gas went up to $74 a barrel?
Yeah, I did. I'm thinking Cheney's in the bunker somewhere doing his best Montgomery Burns going, excellent.
Excellent.
Release the hounds.
I've been hearing regarding that Mr. Chavez has thought about fixing his oil price at $50 a barrel. What do you reckon that would do to Cheney and his
family? Well, he's a member of OPEC.
Hugo
and
Chavez
is. That would probably give the rest of OPEC an absolute poop hemorrhage.
You know, I think it's time that these oil men in Washington get reined in a bit, man. I mean, you know, I mean, of course we've some.
Well, I tell you the God's honest truth. We have the availability down here to go and buy gas at Citgo, and we do.
I do as well.
And I mean, I'm back in the heart of Dixie, and you know, it's fun to just sort of mess with people, or not really mess with people, but, you know, I walked in and plopped the, you know, because we refilled my father's vehicle that we drove down here, and I plopped the $75 down on the counter, and I just looked at the woman, I said, and hauled out my best accent, I said, I tell you what, I'm so glad y'all are here. I like buying Citgo gas because I like to know that I ain't doing business with none of them Saudis what flew their planes into our buildings.
Oh, to be a fly on the wall, Bob.
And there were four or five good old boys hanging around. They went, that's right, brother, that's right.
You know, they would have said that's right had you said, I sure do like giving money to monkeys. They've been like, that's right, brother, that's right.
Good
Oh boy, I know rural. I know rural, Bob, and you know what? You're absolutely right. But I got to tell you something too, man. I'm really glad that you're going to be on the air tomorrow night, because tonight it's been an interesting ride. But
well, you know, I've been hanging out and chatting stuff. But I was just able to get the internet connection fired up here, and get the little mobile studio mostly working. So you know, there shouldn't be any problem tomorrow evening. And I'm really looking forward to getting back to it.
Well, you must be chomping at the bit, man. I mean, we know how you hate your weekends.
Oh, I've peeled all my toenails off. I'm so stressed out.
As long as you let me call in live remote from LAX, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And if the plane hits the ground at the right time, I may call you taxiing into the airport. How about that?
That would be very cool. That would be very cool.
Hey, Bob, did you hear that we have a musical accompaniment for the AG?
I heard that. I love that. That's good.
El Torturador.
We'll work on that.
Fine Corinthian leather.
our whips are only made from the finest Corinthian leather.
Which there was never any such thing as Corinthian leather.
Yes, it was called vinyl. Anyway, the what car was that, Bob? I'm trying to remember.
That was the Cordoba.
The Cordoba,
promoted
that's right.
By Ricardo Montalban.
Yes, from Fantasy Island, where no one
right.
Leaves alive.
You know, and then you know, then your the next step is into the whole Star Trek thing, and he tasks me, and I shall have him.
Well, you really can't wait to get back on the radio, can you?
I'm bubbling at the top. But you know, there are some nice things about being down here. I've gone to my favorite barbecue joint.
All right.
And I have taken my son to an ice cream parlor that has been in operation here since 1918, where I used to plop my change up on the counter and get a cone of orange pineapple.
This time it wasn't change though, I bet.
No, it's $1.08 now for a scoop of ice cream.
Yeah.
But that's still respectable.
That's still that's cool.
Yeah, but it's fun because he says we go in there the first time. He says, "Dad, I'm gonna get the cookie dough." And I said, "Son, don't be trendy. Stick with the great stuff. Try the orange pineapple." And so now he is a devotee of orange pineapple.
Well, like father, like son.
Absolutely. And I just stepped outside for a few minutes, and night has fallen here. And the air is just perfumed with flowers.
Oh, that's great.
Nice.
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. And it's a real head trip to be back on the boyhood stomping grounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would imagine. And when you went to that ice cream shop with your boy, did you suddenly get transported back to the days when you were a kid standing at that
God,
counter?
Oh, God, John. I was, you know, it was a complete Kurt Vonnegut, Billy Pilgrim experience, you know, coming stuck in time and the little birds going pooty wheat and just completely transported. Because nothing's changed in there. The decor, I think the chairs are still the same. And it reminded me why it is so important what we do on this network, because we have got to reach out to that normal America.
Yeah. Because they're feeling pretty lost out there, I reckon.
They are indeed. Bob, thank you so much for giving us a ring this evening.
Oh, guys, you have a wonderful evening. Thank you for everything you've done for me. And maybe we'll chat some more tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Well, I'll...